Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome into the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the final NBA DFS slate of the regular season here on FanDuel. I am Sean Kane, your humble host. Got to start out the show by saying thank you to all the listeners this season who made this possible. Honestly, started in January and never thought that we would get to the listener base that we did, to the community that we did. So thank you to all the listeners out there. I've said it once, I'll say it again. This is regular guy DFS, man. This is not for the sharks. This is not for the lifers. This is for the regular guys, the fish, man. We are out here trying to bite back and make sure that we get a little share of the pie and have fun while we do it. So, really happy that it's been such an awesome ride this season, getting to know people via Twitter. All you listeners out there, means a lot to me, man. You guys have been amazing, and I really appreciate the support. And hey, people are still writing reviews. I asked for a little bit of help, a little bit of push on the review front. It means a lot. Thank you. If you haven't written a review and you've been listening, I would be amazed. It would be just awesome to see a couple extra reviews get up there before the end of the MLB, or excuse me, before the end of NBA season. And as we go into MLB full charge here, and hey, we got a nice slate to talk about tonight. Before we do that, shout out to Billy Bob, 291 last night, listening to the pod, threw one out there, GPP lineup. Travis Glover, really nicely done as well. Not to mention the MLB cash. We had a couple people cash some MLB as well. The MLB cheat sheet. Personally, I hit some good numbers in my MLB lines as well. Robbie Ray coming through big time at the end of that night there. Really, really turned it on for me. And we're going full hog into MLB, man. As soon as this NBA regular season is over, we're going to take some time, get our feet under us, and we're going to be back with an MLB schedule. Really exciting. We'll do, some strategy episodes to get it started. We're going to have different guests on to do MLB throughout the season. It should be really, really, really great. But, for the moment, we've got an excellent NBA slate to end the regular season here. Still have, some playoff viable games. I mean, it just really, there's still games that matter out here. There's still games that matter out here, and there's still a lot of guys who are scoring points in fantasy basketball right now. So, absolutely worth playing. I mean, get out there, play one more slate, if you're not going to play. I mean, there'll be the playoff slates, which will be really interesting as well. And those will be a lot of fun. But one more regular season slate, definitely worth playing. And it is a monster. So we are going to break down spreads. We'll talk injury news. We'll talk playoff situations so that you understand exactly what is going to happen going into the playoffs here. But before we do that, let's do a quick recap of the action yesterday. One of these nights. All right. So, yesterday, guys, made some interesting decisions, and it worked out, to be completely honest with you. Worked out pretty well for me. I like I said, only playing really GPP. So this would cash the line would have done very well in cash games based on what I was seeing. But we kind of moved away from cash games just based on the fact that they've been really, really kind of shark infested and difficult to navigate because ownership percentages are just so unbelievably high. Jumped into the block there, the single entry. Got a couple other little entries out there. Ended up with a score of 274. Could have been more, to be honest with you. Feel like it really could have been. But we went with I went with Giroux and Tyler Ulis. as my point guards. Ulis was almost a must-have as soon as the news about Devin Booker came out. It was Ulis and Warren must-haves. They were owned pretty highly. Giroux had could have been better. I wish I had stuck to my guns with Rubio. I was originally on Rubio, but I just liked Giroux's matchup and the fact that there was no one else out there to score. So went Holiday, went Ulis, went Oladipo. Obviously, with no Russ, you kind of wanted to get some Oladipo in your life. Jordan Crawford had a nice game. Consistent, very consistently exceeding value, Jordan Crawford. TJ Warren could have done more, but hey, everybody was on him. Andrew Wiggins could have done more, but hey, everybody was on him. Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, not bad, but, you know, Scal got more minutes than him, really, and did more. And Larry Nance Jr., not bad, could have done more, definitely would have been nice to see him do more. But Cat, of course, Cat coming through, just doing Cat stuff as usual, 42 fantasy points for Karl Anthony Towns. And I said, I think this is going to be a regular basketball game. And it ended up being a regular competitive basketball game when it was a bunch of other weird games. The Charlotte-Atlanta game was a hot mess. But Jeremy Lamb was the top scorer there, one of the top scorers there. So, you know, definitely excited to have seen Jeremy Lamb up there, because we talked up Jeremy Lamb. We talked up Buddy Hield. They all did very well. You know, we talked up Holiday. We talked up Rubio. They did well. Ulis, we talked to him up as well. You know, Wiggins and Warren were kind of disappointing, but compare them to the other small forward options, which were just a disaster, I think that they worked out fine. You know, Brandon Ingram really had a nice game, and we talked about him. He was interesting as well. Power forward was kind of a mess. You know, people got on Jokic because they wanted to spend that money, but didn't work out. Jokic had a terrible game. So, you know, hey, what we're trying to target in these situations is guys who we know will get stable minutes. This is definitely a situation where you want to build a floor of minutes and you want to make sure that guys are playing for something. At the minimum, they're playing for, you know, recognition, stats, contracts, whatever the case may be, and they're getting the minutes, or they're playing for playoff spots where you have playoff viable matchups where they're trying to get their seeding. So definitely trying to continue that trend tonight as we look ahead to the NBA, and we're trying to figure out where are these playoff games. So let's talk a little bit about the spreads in the games tonight. Okay, so first things first, let me break down the playoff situation for you guys just so that you have an understanding of exactly what matters as far as the games go tonight. There are a couple teams that are still in, you know, in viable situations. The Eastern Conference has a nice little mess down at the 7-8 seed, which will make games interesting. The Western Conference really only has one situation that's interesting. Boston probably going to end up with the number one seed for two reasons. Boston is playing a Milwaukee team that is punting tonight, resting Chris Middleton, resting Giannis, etc. And they're at home. They have no injuries. They have the one seed. All they have to do is beat this depleted Bucks team, and they will secure the one seed. The Cavs secure the one seed if the Celtics lose and the Cavs beat the Raptors. But they're playing the Raptors with no LeBron. So you got to think the Cavs are just basically saying, let's take our two seed and let's move on. Bron sitting this one out, which kind of changes everything. I mean, Cleveland in the two seed is very interesting to me. But, you know, I think that they're probably comfortable with any of those, you know, 7 or 8 seeds that they end up with, which could be Indiana, Chicago, or Miami. All three of these teams in must-win situations. Indiana going to Atlanta, kind of the silver medal matchup here, not a terrible game. Indiana really doesn't have anything to play for, I don't think. So I don't know what we'll see from the Indiana starters. If anything, they won last night and kind of locked themselves into that six seed. They're not really in, they're not moving, or excuse me, the five seed. They're not really moving, and Milwaukee clearly isn't going to chase them by punting this game. So, you know, you think Atlanta is locked in here. Maybe they give Millsap a night of rest. I'm not sure. So Indiana in a must-win situation, they will be the seven seed if they win. And if the they are the eight seed, or they're the seven seed if they win, or the seven seed if both the Heat and the Bulls lose. Okay, they're the eight seed if they lose, and one of those teams, Miami or Chicago, loses, but they get bumped, I believe, if all Chicago and Miami win and Indiana loses. Chicago, they get the seven seed if they win and the Pacers lose. They get the eight seed if they win and the Heat lose. So they're eliminated if they lose and the Heat win, because the Heat basically own the tiebreakers with the Pacers and the Bulls. So if the Pacers or the Bulls lose, then the Heat are in. Miami gets the seven seed if the Heat win, if they win, and the Pacers and the Bulls lose, or they get the eight seed if the Bulls or the Pacers, they get the eight seed if the Heat and the Bulls both win and the Pacers lose, or if the Heat and the Pacers both win and the Bulls lose, but they're eliminated if both the Bulls and the Pacers win. So Miami kind of waiting, you know, holding their breath basically over the, they have to win or they go home guaranteed, but they have to hope that the Pacers or the Bulls lose. And the Pacers and the Bulls have the nicer matchups here. They are, as I said, Indiana, Atlanta, Chicago has Brooklyn, Miami has Washington. Washington not really playing for anything, so maybe we see Washington sit their starters as well. I'm not sure, but Indiana, Chicago, Miami should be full tilt starters, all three trying to get the win. Now, if all three of them get the win, I think, and I'm not sure exactly what happens, if they win, I believe Miami will get a seed because Miami owns the tiebreakers with both of these teams. And I think that Indiana, Chicago, let me see this. If Pacers and Chicago, Pacers, if they have the same record, Pacers, Bulls, box score, let me look this up. Pacers and the Bulls, the Pacers own the tiebreaker with the Bulls. So if all three of them win, I believe it's going to be Pacers and Bulls, and it'll be Miami with the seven seed over the Pacers. So, interesting. I'm not really sure. We'll see what will happen here. You know, very, very, very interesting. Now, in the Western Conference, it's basically Clippers and Jazz. They're fighting four and five seeds. Whoever wins and loses will get the, if the Clippers win and the Jazz lose, and the Clippers get home court in the four seed. If the Jazz win and the Clippers lose, they get four seed. But if they both win in these situations, then, the Clippers will have the tiebreaker. They'll get the four seed. Or if they both lose in this situation, Clippers get the four seed again because they have the tiebreaker and they have the same record. So the Jazz and the Clippers with a little something to play for, and the Jazz are playing the Spurs. I don't know what we'll see from the Spurs as far as rest. You know, Popovich definitely a rest guy, and the Clippers playing the Kings, which should be an easy W for them in this situation. So that's the playoff situation. That's what we're looking at. That's what, you know, we still have something to play for here. The rest of the games are interesting because there's value there. But those are the games you really want to target. You want shares of, I think, for sure. But let's go ahead and let's break down the rest of these games because there's still viable fantasy targets in all of them. Detroit at Orlando, 207 total. Orlando favored by two. This is just value. Arama, especially on the Detroit side. No serious injuries to consider except for at the point guard at Detroit. No Beno Udrih, no Reggie Jackson, which means Ish Smith. Tons and tons of minutes. You got to expect that. On the Orlando side, we've seen what this tank mode team looks like. You know, we're getting more minutes for Mario Hizjonza, whatever his, however we say it, Super Mario, not Super Dario, Super Mario. But, you know, you'll still see standard minutes for guys like Elf. You'll see the minutes for Aaron Gordon. You know, that young core that they want to build around, they will give them the minutes. Probably fewer minutes for some of these other guys. You know, Terrence Ross not getting a ton of run. Evan Fournier not getting a ton of run lately because I think they have some other twos and threes that they want to get some run out there. Toronto at Cleveland, 206 total. Toronto favored by three. You know, LeBron out. You know, and we'll see what they say about Kyrie. Tristan Thompson says he is going to play. We'll see what they say about Kyrie. They wouldn't be surprised if they rest him too. It's just they seem like they want to rest, which means you'll have maybe some Channing Frye in the mix. You'll probably have some, you know, Darren Williams, obviously, if we have that. But the Toronto has all their starters. I don't know if they'll play them all. I think they'll start them all in name. Just to kind of continue to get rhythm with Lowry back. But I don't think that they'll really push it necessarily. That said, Kyle Lowry's been playing really well, and I don't know. I don't know if he'll get full minutes. I mean, I think he might because he wants to get rhythm. That's the thing. There's a couple. Kyle Lowry and Kevin Durant will probably get 30 minutes just because they haven't played in a while and they want to get in back into a rhythm before the playoffs. That's interesting. That's sneaky. Those are GPP targets for sure. Milwaukee at Boston, 206 total. Boston favored by 14. Of course, we know Milwaukee resting their starters, Tony Snell, Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Dellavedova all sitting out this one. So you're going to have, you know, Brogdon, Beasley, Thonmaker, and, you know, probably a little John Henson and Greg Monroe in there. Hard to predict where the value is going to come from, but I think, you know, you could definitely look at Beasley as a top-end option and Brogdon probably as a scorer. I don't know how much run Greg Monroe will get. Just doesn't make sense to give him a ton of run, although I would like him if he got 30 minutes, but I'm not really trusting that. Boston, all the starters are a go. They're going to make sure that they lock down that one seed. They'll probably try to blow them out in the first half so they can take limited minutes in the second half. Philadelphia at New York, no one here is starting. No one here who makes real money is playing tonight. So it's 204 total here. Philadelphia favored by two. Should be a lot of value in this one to target. Of course, there is literally nobody on the 76ers who is healthy. No Jared Bayless, no Sergio, no Ben, no Joel Embiid. Just listing all of the guys who are out. No Covington. So, you know we're going to see 30 minutes for TLC and 30 minutes for Rashawn Holmes. And, you know, then you got Stauss and Justin Anderson. They're just so thin. The player rotation is so thin. So we know what this Philadelphia team looks like when there's nobody playing. And then on the Knicks side of the ball, you have basically all the old guys sitting out. No Derrick Rose, no Carmelo, no Kristaps, no Joe, no Lance Thomas, obviously. So we're going to see all the second unit Knicks playing as well in this one. Washington at Miami. This game matters, obviously, for Miami quite a bit. 206 total here. Miami favored by nine. And it's primarily because Vegas thinks that Washington is going to rest their guys. You know, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Washington almost has no reason to play their guys. They are locked into their three seed. Their four seed. They're locked in. We know the Hawks aren't going to catch them. And we have to think that they're not really trying to catch the Raptors. And the Raptors, I think the Raptors own the tiebreaker with them. If I remember this correctly, if the Raptors lose this game, then the Raptors would go down to 50-32, and the Wizards win, then they would go up to 50-32 as well. And then let's see, Raptors, Wizards, the Raptors own the tiebreaker. So there's no reason for the Wizards to try and move their seed and get into the, they wouldn't be able to overtake the Raptors anyway, even if they tied them in record. So I don't think the Wizards are going to play. I don't think you're going to have a ton of John Wall, Otto Porter. You know, obviously Bradley Beal seems to be the only healthy starter, but I just don't even know why they would trot him out there that many minutes. in a game where Miami really, really wants to win and be competitive. It just doesn't make sense to me. So you got to think maybe you're going to get some Wizards news here about things. We'll see. And then on the, on the Miami side of the ball, you've got a lot of injuries to different pieces. And, you know, you're going to have starters playing full minutes. You're going to have full on Josh Richardson, full James Johnson, who I really like both of those guys. And they just have to win just to kind of see what happens. Brooklyn at Chicago, 211 total here. Chicago favored by 13. They just lost to Brooklyn the other day. And, you know, no Brook Lopez, no Trevor Booker, no Jeremy Lin, no Kilpatrick Harris. So you're going to have basically all the young guns in Brooklyn playing, you know, a combination of Whitehead and Dinwiddie at the one, Foy and Caris LeVert at the two, Hollis Jefferson at the four, probably getting the most run there, and Justin Hamilton, interestingly enough, at the center position. Only thing we're thinking about in Chicago is whether or not Rondo plays here. Rondo is a game time with that wrist, but Jerry and Grant has been playing so well that they may just say, don't worry about it. Dallas at Memphis, 191 total here. Memphis favored by 8. Don't care. Dallas is eliminated. Dirk played a ton of minutes last night and scored a bunch, which is crazy. Must have been the Romo effect. He was just pumped to have Tony in the building. But they, I mean, it's just a joke. You know, I mean, it's neither of these teams. Memphis very locked into their seed. Dallas trying to just, you know, make sure guys stay healthy and they're moving on. So I don't really think this is a fantasy target. I don't know who would get run in this situation, you know, that actually is valuable. So not interested. Minnesota at Houston, 227 total here. Houston favored by 8. Wow. I mean, we really are going to have to look hard at this game because this is a massive total. It's got a decent spread because two things. One, there's a ton of scoring potential when Houston is at home, even with their second unit. Tons of guys can put the ball in the bucket. They can really, really, really score a lot of points. We know the Wolves also are going to play their starters no matter what. So, you know, the only thing you have to consider is whether or not I don't think Harden is going to play a lot. If you look at the box score from the Clippers game, they didn't rest him, you know, and it says like Clippers blow out the Rockets. They didn't blow them out. The whole first half was very tight. It got up to a 10-point lead in the third quarter because the Clippers obviously had something to play for. And D'Antoni took out the starters. He's like, we're not going to chase the Clippers right now. What's the point? We're locked into our 3 seed. I'm not going to force Harden out there. And he gave him 24 minutes, and that was the end of it. And he did that with the rest of the starters, too. Clint Capella out. He's resting. That opens up a little bit of front court value. And honestly, what it really opens up is Montrezl Harrell. Harrell is probably going to get the bulk of run here because there's just no way that you see Nene, which, okay, then I have Carl Anthony Towns against Montrezl Harrell for 38 minutes. Let that sink in. Okay, great. you know, really, really, really viable game to target. The Wolves continue to be viable to target because Tibbs plays them insane minutes. You know, you just don't have to think about it too hard. They're trying to develop that team. They're giving the ball to Wiggins and Towns, and they're saying, shoot, 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 get your reps. I guess, I don't know if it's smart, but that's what they're doing. Denver, OKC, 224 total. OKC favored by 5. Russ says he's going to play in the final game of the year. I don't know how smart that is, but they're going to play him. And maybe he just wants to do one more, you know, home stand here for the fans type situation. Wants to make sure that the fans in OKC aren't disappointed. I get that. I appreciate that. Tons of injuries on the Denver side. You know, we saw, you know, Jameer Nelson, Kenneth Faried, Gallo, and Barton are all out. They're likely going to sit again. We saw last night Jokic barely get minutes, and I said that. I said, I just don't think there's any way that they trot out the future of their franchise for 35 minutes in a game that they don't have to win because their season is over. Now, we did see good developmental minutes for three core pieces, Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, and Juancho Hernangómez. They got really good minutes because they're the youngest players on that team and they're the future core of that team. You know, Murray, Harris, and Juancho all getting above 25 minutes last night makes a ton of sense. Gary Harris is a second year. He missed a ton of the season last year. Jamal Murray, rookie. Juancho, rookie. So you have these guys that, you know, are going to get run, and it's not a bad game to target. It's got a massive total in it, and you got to think that they're going to continue to shoot the ball. So Gary and Juancho are very interesting to me. Jamal Murray, of course, very interesting to me. But even with the minutes, Murray has struggled a little bit. But I'm not touching Jokic. I wouldn't be surprised if we see, you know, Jokic will rest for the final game of the season. That makes sense to me. On the Russ question is hard. I mean, because you have a 13-9 player who's going up in the best EVP situation with a total above 220. Obviously, it's a good situation. If this was March, you'd be like, let's go, Russ. Give me this. All the Russ. But it's not March, and I don't know how much run they will give Westbrook in this last game of the year unless it is a full MVP press, and we'll talk about that. Atlanta-Indiana, 201 total. Indiana favored by 12. Give me all the Paul George. I love it. And Jeff Teague, for sure. No question. I'll be very interested to see the Indiana Atlanta injury report. I wouldn't be surprised if you see a couple guys sit here. Or they do the same thing that they did last night, 25 minutes, and then give them the bench. I don't know how to predict it, but I think the Indiana side is very, very clear. You're going to get 30-plus high-quality minutes from Paul George and Jeff Teague, and I'm interested in that for sure because we attack the wings, we attack the point guard in Atlanta. San Antonio, Utah, 190 total in this one. Utah favored by 4. Derek Favors says he's going to play. I don't know about Rodney Hood. Gordon Hayward played last time out. Did he play or did he not play? I can't even remember if Gordon Hayward played in that last game. But this game has Pop rest candidates written all over it. They lose to Portland. Unless Pop is like, this team needs to learn some lessons, which he could, I don't know. But, I mean, you're not going to play Kawhi against Utah anyway, and you're definitely not going to play Kawhi against Utah when you're pretty sure that he's not going to get more than 20 minutes here, which is probably what they'll do. Hayward did play against he did not play against Golden State. He did play in that Portland game. But he did not play in that Golden State game. So who knows if we'll see Hayward come back. I don't know. I like targeting the Utah side of the ball. If the San Antonio starters are out, I think it's very interesting to play Hayward against Kyle Anderson in a must-win game at home. A want-to-win game at home. But I don't know. We got to wait for news. That's all I'll say about that. Sacramento at the Clippers, 208 total here. Clippers want to win this one for sure. They've been playing pretty well here. They're favored by 15 at home. They've been excellent at home. Really makes me like Chris Paul, even a little DeAndre Jordan. I continue to say that I think Blake is trappy. I don't know when to play Blake, and I'm not playing him unless it's against Phoenix and LA where no one will guard him. That's it. I'm not playing Blake. Just don't give me that. Blake is, I don't know how good he is. I got to be honest with you. He's damn, like, he's good, but, like, where's the consistency? Where's the consistency of effort? Like, it, you know, I just don't know. Is he worth as much as, you know, a Karl Anthony Towns as a front court player? He's just not in my mind. You know, and obviously we're going to have a ton of rest candidates for Sacramento, so you can target those guys as soon as we know how many different players are resting for Sacramento. Then we can figure out who maybe we want to target on Sacramento. But I don't love targeting Sacramento here. LA's defense will be turned up. So more interested, I think, in Chris Paul, if anything. He's had 40 points at least in the last couple games. And then the last two games of the night, Lakers at the Warriors. Warriors favored by 13 here. Andre Iguodala, Matt Barnes, and Draymond Green, a ton of the front court players sitting, which definitely is going to open up some value. I think Kevin Durant is very interesting in this spot. KD is probably one of my favorite plays here. I just think that KD is going to be able to pick up a lot of that usage, and we know he's going to get 30 minutes, and we know he is probably going to come low owned, and we know he's trying to get back into a rhythm. I mean, 30 minutes of Kevin Durant as the primary scorer against the Lakers is pretty interesting to me. Now, if the full team was playing, I wouldn't be as interested, but I mean, we may not even get Klay Thompson. So you could even go down to an Ian Clark. Ian Clark against the Lakers is very interesting. Now, the Lakers are very hard to predict. I'm not really sure if I want any shares of them at all. And then New Orleans at Portland, 210 total here. Portland favored by 12. Pretty sure that we're going to see no Cousins, no Davis. So you're going to likely be able to fire up another Cheick Diallo and Alex Ejinsa here. And we'll wait to see what happens on the Portland side of the ball. The Lillard, Crabbe, and McCollum, they're nursing little nagging injuries, but there's no reason for them to play in this one. So let's wait and see if they actually give it a go. I would think they wouldn't because they're locked into that 8 seed. Just rest. You have to play the freaking Warriors in the first round. Just rest. So that's it, man. Really interesting games. But of course, the most interesting games to me, we're talking about Brooklyn, Chicago, Miami, Washington. I also think that Philadelphia, New York has sneaky value. And then Minnesota, Houston, Atlanta, Indiana. And then some of these late games have some sneakiness to them. So I'm good with that as well. All right, let's jump into the player breakdown here. We got to sort through the studs and figure out who we love. Who do you love? All right, starting at point guard, obviously our top price play tonight is Russ, 13-9. I mean, it's just an insane price. I think it's season high, last game of the year. I don't think there's any reason that he's playing except for maybe to push the MVP vote and for the home fans. Maybe he tries to get one more triple-double, but then again, he sat out last night, which was a triple-double opportunity. I'm not sure. You know, I think it almost means more to him to play well in the first round against James Harden than anything. And I mean, think about that. That's the MVP race. It's Harden versus Westbrook. And if he wants to make sure that the haters are satisfied, then he will play his ass off. And why wouldn't you rest? I don't know. But that said, he is playing the worst EVP to the point guard all year long. It's a gift wrap triple double if he wants to go get one. You know, he's got like half of his team's assists, 40% of his team's rebounds, and 40% of his team's scoring. It makes sense that in this climate he might want to try and build his case for MVP with one last, 50, 12 and 12 type game. I have no idea. But it also makes a lot of sense that if Billy Donovan says, hey, listen, pal, we'll put you out there in the first half to give the fans what they deserve, to say thank you for your support, but we're not going to play you in the second half and you just need to rest. That makes more sense to me from an administration perspective. But then again, who am I? Who the fuck am I? Two guys that I'm interested in also. Steph is going to go for 40. That's a guarantee because there's no one else on the floor. And he averages 1.4 fantasy points per minute with no one of those guys on the floor. But then again, of course, they could just give the ball to Ian Clark. Steph 30 to 40, I think, easy. But I think CP3 is the one that I'm really interested in. Hasn't hit below 40 in a couple games. I don't think he will come highly owned. I think he's very, very sleepy and very, very interesting in this case. I really like CP3 here. I think that you could definitely talk yourself into some Chris Paul shares. You know, there's 40-point upside here in Sacramento. They really need this. They need the win. It's as simple as that, my friends. It is simple as that. It is, we need the W. And, you know, why wouldn't you play Chris Paul at home trying to get a win? You know, it is this. It is the Kings. It is a pace down situation. But if you want to try to fit in one more rock solid, you know, one more solid, solid stud, then I think that you can absolutely look at, you can absolutely look at him here in this situation. At shooting guard, James Harden is there. Okay. Now we're not, I'm not touching DeMar, even though it's twos against the Cavs. There's no reason for them to play that game hard. There's just no reason. And the way he's been playing with Lowry back on the floor, there's no reason to touch DeMar. So it's Harden at me, 11-7, really nice price. But there's no reason for them to roll 38 minutes of full tilt James Harden against the Wolves right now. You know, it's maybe he'll start, he'll respect the fans, say thank you, and then, you know, they'll rest him. I think it's 24-minute situation. You know, we talked about what happened against the Clippers. He only played 24 minutes. That game was not out of hand. It looked like a blowout by the end, but it was not out of hand at halftime. I'm telling you guys, it was a winnable game, and they just decided to stop playing. And I think that that's D'Antoni saying, I'm not going to force it. We want to make a run here. The playoffs are more important than the MVP race. And D'Antoni, I think, you know, has that in him. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, he only had 44 against the Wolves last time out, too. I think it's not necessarily a situation. The Wolves are pretty paced down. They're half-solid defensively. So I don't think you really have to have Harden in this situation. You know, think about Harden and Russ. They're risky investments for the possible maintenance minutes. It's just a risky investment in my mind. I think Russ is more viable of the two if you want to make a top-end investment. But if you look at small forward, it's just a way better place to buy your studs. And you combine that with the possibility of maybe getting some Towns or some Chris Paul. I'm just more interested in that. I'm going to be honest with you. At small forward, though, this is me. This is where I'm going. At small forward, this is where we're buying our studs. No Bron opens up three very distinct possibilities for me. The first is obviously Jimmy. Must win. Pace up. Brooklyn. We love the total. We love the fact that it's a revenge game. He just missed the shot against them on Sunday. They could have clinched their playoff victories, you know, by winning two in a row. They didn't, so now they have to beat him again. The 30th in DVP to the small forward. He has an implied total of 113 points. You know, even in the Magic blowout the other night, that was truly a blowout. Jimmy played 31 minutes. He got 40 fantasy points. I don't think Hoiberg is screwing around with this. He wants to make sure that they get good run here. The guy he's resting is Dwayne Wade. He doesn't need Jimmy to rest. So Jimmy's going to get 30 minutes here no matter what. I like Jimmy in this situation a lot. And I like the fact that the Brooklyn Nets played them tight. You know, the Bulls aren't that good, so the Nets can play them tight again. Now, I do think that the Bulls will come out strong here and play really hard. And, you know, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade are all-star caliber players. There is no one on the Nets that's even close to that caliber of player. So, I think that you can for sure look at Jimmy in this case at 10-2. He's very, very interesting. You know, I think the price is a little concerning. I think that that's my hesitation. You're asking Jimmy to score 50 with Dwayne Wade on the floor. That's hard for me. I think that that's hard for me, but I think that the pace, the matchup, everything else aligns. And I think that people will be on Jimmy for high ownership, but I don't mind two other guys, PG, obviously Paul George. He's one of my favorite plays on the board at 9-9. I love Paul George in this situation. We know Atlanta can't guard the wings. Paul George had 43 fantasy points against the Hawks just last time out earlier in March. 107 total. They're 27th in DVP to the position. Tabo's been limited with the groin strain, so I don't think they're going to throw a lot of defense at him. And Paul George is kind of matchup proof. I mean, even against fucking LeBron, the dude can score. So, you know, I love Paul George. He hasn't scored below 40 since he played Memphis. And that was the only, there's been two games where he scored just below 40 points in the last like 12. I think that Paul George's floor and ceiling are both here for this. You know, and I, like I said, I don't think the Hawks are going to bring it. They have no reason to play their guys in full minutes and whatever, you know, let the Pacers just be smart here, Hawks. I don't see any reason for them to play their minutes full tilt. They didn't do it last night against Charlotte. They came out, they did maintenance minutes, 20 minutes for everybody, and then kind of sat them down. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see the same thing here. You know, and like I said, the Pacers own the tiebreaker, so they just have to win and they'll go on. It's the Bulls who might get shortchanged if the Heat and the Pacers win. I think KD is a sleepy one here, and I kind of love him. And so let me describe why I love Kevin Durant in this position. Kevin Durant is going to own 1.46 fantasy points per minute here. He sees increased assists. He sees increased rebounds with none of those guys on the floor. He got 30 minutes in both of the games, even though they were winning handily, both of the games in the last two, because I think that he wants to find rhythm. And I think that Steve Kerr is fine with him saying, I understand you want to get back in your NBA rhythm. We want to win a title here. He has no problem with that. I think he has no problem with saying, if you can give me 30 minutes, go for 30 minutes. I'll rest you and, you know, against the Blazers while we're blowing them out. He's averaged, and if he gets 30 minutes, I mean, he's averaged 47 fantasy points against the Lakers in only 32 minutes this year. So you combine the fact that the history is there, the low ownership is there, and that he might get 32 minutes. It's risky. Don't get me wrong. It's risky, because why would they play an injured superstar or partially injured superstar for 31 minutes in the last game of the season against the Lakers? The reason they do it is because they trust him when he says my knee is healthy and they want him to feel comfortable. That's the reason they do it. Now, if there's any question marks about whether or not he's going to play, I think you get off of him. But I think you have amazing ownership leverage here, because honestly, none of the projection systems have anything serious for Kevin Durant here, because everybody is going to be looking at these value guys and presuming that Kevin Durant really only gets, 29, 28 minutes here. Even with those minutes, he can score over 45 points. We just saw 32 minutes, he scores over 45 points. It's the Lakers. They're terrible. They're terrible defensively. There's a lot of pace. They're at home. Guys, it's kind of an interesting spot to play Kevin Durant. And honestly, if you're doing multiple tournament lineups, throw a little dab of Kevin Durant in there. Dab on him. Dab on him. And make sure you dab while you do it. Please. I mean, I know we're not 15, but, you know, we can always still dab a little bit. At power forward, I said I'm not playing Blake, and I just don't trust the man, okay? And I don't trust Jokic either right now. I don't trust Malone. Like I said earlier, no reason to give him minutes. And Blake, honestly, unless Blake actually wants to score and rebound, he's not going to do it. He didn't do it last time against Sacramento. He only had 29 fantasy points against them. You know, obviously in that game, they had control of it. That was the game that they played like shit. Remember, and they lost on the last possession? Ah, that's right. Him, Blake and Chris Paul played terrible in that game. DeAndre played well, but Blake and Chris Paul played absolutely terrible in that game. I'm not touching Blake. I think Kevin Love is interesting. You know, he's the guy who has a lot of interest. He's not going to... The matchup isn't wonderful. Toronto is pretty solid defensively. However, I will say he's averaged 35 in his last five games. One of those games against Miami, who was very similar profile to them defensively as far as guarding the fours. he's averaged 18-10 against the Raps. I don't know. I don't think you have to have him, and I don't think they'll force him out there for a lot of minutes. But he's interesting because there's going to be no LeBron, and he's a primary usage guy with no LeBron out there. So Kevin Love is interesting at 7-5. I think if we get more news, then maybe you could go to Kevin Love here, but I don't think you have to have him, especially with the risk that he may only get 24 minutes. At center, it's my man Kat. With nothing, absolutely nothing on the line in the last two games, Karl-Anthony Towns has played 41 and 40 minutes. Why? Why, Thibodeau? Why? I'll tell you why. Because they really, really, really want to develop him in Wiggins. They're just saying, shoot as many shots as you can. Go, go, go. Let's run the offense through you, and let's see what we look like. They have to see what they have. They have a lot of things to work on. They have no problem doing that. Kat came out last night after that game and said, we got a lot to work on. It's clear that this kid wants to work. You know, I love him at home, obviously. I don't love him in the back-to-back in the last game of the season with no legs, but I do love him against no front court defense in the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, you know, have, no Clint Capella. They have Nene, who was banged up a little bit, but you have to think Nene will play a little bit, but it's going to be mostly Montrezl Harrell. Okay. I want to play Karl-Anthony Towns against Montrezl Harrell with crazy Thibodeau giving him 40 minutes. I do. I want to play that, especially with the matchup history there. 67. He had 67 against the Rockets last game. He could literally get every rebound. He could go for 30 and 20 here, and you would be like, what the fuck is happening? So give me Kat. I love it. Even though there's value at center, I'm still interested in Karl-Anthony Towns here. I have a lot of, that's just a lot of loyalty, right? I mean, you can make some emotional plays. You can play your guys, right? There's a little bit of loyalty. You know, if this was, I could play Elf and Schroeder if I wanted to, right? Not a great situation, but those are my guys, and I could play them. I wonder what the all loyalty lineup would look like. Interesting. The all loyalty lineup. My favorite plays throughout the year. Interesting. be fun. Point guard Grout plays. Let's get into the mid tier here. Point guard Grout. I think you have to go two tiers. There's two tiers, you guys. There's three tiers, really, if you think about it. There's the kind of the low 8Ks. There's the 7Ks. Okay. And then there's the 5Ks. Okay. So let's talk about them all. In the 8K, low 8K range, you have IT and you have Kyle Lowry. Now, both in plus matchups are good matchups here. Both kind of want-to-win situations. I think IT is very much in play. It's his last game at home. They want to secure the one seed here. He'll get that. They'll get that taken care of. Milwaukee punting this game for sure. They're mediocre against the point guard. And he has torched Milwaukee this year. He has really had his way, even with the starters. He has had his way. He's averaged 48 points against them this season. Lowry, interesting. I don't think they have any reason to play this game, Toronto. They have no reason to, but rhythm. But if they want to get Kyle Lowry some rhythm, he's been touching the ball a lot. He's been getting a lot of good usage. So Kyle Lowry is interesting against the Cavs. And obviously, Kyrie Irving defense is Kyrie Irving terrible. Then you go down to the next tier. You've got two guys who want something to play for. You got Goran and Jeff Teague. Jeff Teague, obviously 6'9", he's got Atlanta, must-win situation for him. Goran Dragic, 7'9", must-win situation for him. Here's the interesting thing. Both of them have played these guys, these Eastern Conference matchups, quite a bit. Teague has averaged 37 against Atlanta, and Goran has averaged 38 against the Wizards. Well, I mean, you compare $1,000 savings here. There's really no reason not to play Jeff Teague because he has 40-point upside. We know that. He's just priced better. I think that you can expect really good value from Jeff Teague tonight at 6'9", just under 35 points. Seems very, very viable here in a situation where they really, really want to win. And Jeff Teague is basically one of the primary ball handlers here. And against Dennis Schroeder defense, give me that. I love it. Now I like Goran quite a bit if we get the John Wall is out news and it's Goran versus Brandon Jennings. then I think it becomes very interesting because we know Goron is one of the primary usage guys on that front line. So give me some Goran Dragic if there is the opportunity there for Dragic to take advantage of Brandon Jennings. You know, I love that. I love that. All right. Grout shooting guard is interesting. Obviously, Bradley Beal might be in play if we have no John Wall, but I don't, like I said, I have very distinct opinions about what the Wizards should do, given the fact that they're going to have a pretty tough series with, you know, the Hawks, and then they're probably going to have to play the Celtics, you know. I don't know. So, you know, maybe you think about that if he's in there, if he's the only one who's playing, you got to think about that. But I do love Timothy Luwakabara and Gary Harris. This is based on what we know now. Okay, I think these guys are safe investments based on what we know. They're young, they're in developmental mode, they're getting the minutes, they're getting the usage, they're going to score 30 points. They're primary usage guys. Timothy Luwakabara, he's been scoring well above 30 fantasy points, averaging above 30 fantasy points in the last five games. He went for a fantasy point per minute last time he had New York. They're playing bottom five against the shooting guard in the last five. I think TLC is an excellent investment here. Now, that said, Gary Harris has been plus six in his last five, exceeding value by at least six fantasy points. His price doesn't move. We know this about Gary Harris, but he had 40 last night. Weird thing is that he only had eight fantasy points against OKC last time out. I have to think that's because primary usage was going through Gallo and Nico. You know, they were just hogging the ball, and Gallo was on fire, so Gary just really didn't have any, you know, any opportunity for usage. That said, no Will Barton, no Gallo out there tonight, probably low usage. Gary's part of that youth core. They want to get him minutes. He's been playing really well, and there's no reason that they can't play him because he's young. He needs the experience. They'll give him the minutes. So I think that those two guys are in play. And then just below them, Josh Richardson, he's been getting huge run lately. He's been extremely productive. You know, obviously this isn't the twos against Cleveland. Cleveland is like 24th in the league against the two, whereas Washington is like, you know, 13, I think. So it's a big swing. They're above average to below average, basically. So I don't love that. You add to the fact that Jay Rich had overtime last time, but I think the price definitely and the minutes definitely marry. So I think you can look at Jay Rich and say, 30 fantasy points, yeah, that makes sense in a must-win situation here against the Wizards, you know, at home. I think that that makes a lot of good sense for me. They're not going to take him off the floor because there's really no one else to replace him, and he's been playing extremely well. So Josh Richardson is very interesting to me at 5'3". Small forward, I think there's two options. I think that if Hayward plays, he's interesting, but let's presume that he's out. Okay, let's presume that he is out. I think you start with Andrew Wiggins, and then you can also look pretty closely at Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. Those are my two favorites, okay? Wiggins, listen to those Wiggins stat. This is insane. He took 22 shots last night. He went 7 for 22. That's on he's on some DeMar DeRozan, Kobe Bryant shit right there. 23 attempts in the last five games. That's nuts. They're just giving him the ball and saying, you better fucking shoot it. And he's doing it. If he gets hot, man, forget it. Like, the kid can score 30 real-life points. He was cold last night in the first half, and then he blew up in the second half. So, you know, Wiggins is interesting here, especially in a pace-up, high-total situation. I think you can absolutely look at him to maybe get you 40. Last time out, he had 30-something against the Rockets. So the matchup history isn't perfect, but I don't understand why they would run Trevor Ariza out there for so many minutes when he's been playing so much, so well, just to guard Andrew Wiggins in a meaningless last game when he's going to have to guard, you know, the Thunder. I mean, it probably, I don't know, a combination of, you know, health side on Russ, stuff like that, just doesn't make sense that they would play Ariza a ton of minutes here. So I think Wiggins could get some second unit defense. You know, he has the volume. The volume and the minutes are there. The attempts are there. That's hard to come by here. RHJ, though, is just a great value. There's no one playing in Brooklyn. Hollis Jefferson has been a shining star for them as far as their recruiting, you know, young recruits. he had 40 last time out against Chicago. Now, I don't see 40 again for him here because I think the Bulls are going to really turn up the defense. But he is one of their best players. He is one of their highest usage players. Not to mention he rebounds and he scores. So, you know, 30 minutes from Rondae Hollis-Jefferson at 5'3". I love Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in this spot. I think he's going to be an excellent value and an excellent place to score. So RHJ, very interesting to me. Okay, moving on to power forward. This is there's a couple good spots to target here. And I think what we have to look for the most is minutes. I think my first and most favorite guy is definitely James. James Johnson. James Johnson in a really good spot here for sure. Going up, you know, we know we want to target the front court in Washington. It's absolutely viable targeting the front court there. He needs a win. He had 35 the last game out against the Wizards. He had a double-double. I like him to get 30 here. Plenty of usage, plenty of scoring here in this situation. Johnson is going to be dialed in and playing really, really well, and he needs to score for them to win. So I like James Johnson a lot in this spot. I also think you can look at Rashawn Holmes. You know, Holmes has struggled against the Knicks here, but he's been getting 30 minutes pretty consistently as of late. And I think that they want him to continue to develop, and we don't mind targeting Knicks again, players against Knicks, especially at the center position, which we know Holmes plays at. Even though he's listed at the four, he kind of plays the five. So I don't mind Rashawn Holmes. I don't think he's my favorite. But then, you know, I also move on to guys like Nikola Mirotic. Mirotic playing 30 minutes here in a must-win game against Brooklyn. Very interesting. I think Mirotic probably has 20, 25 points in him as a floor. And then, you know, upside, of course, because it's Brooklyn. You know, he struggled against them quite a bit last time out. But the minutes are there. We saw it against Orlando. It's not from a matchup perspective, it's almost not as good as Orlando. I'm not really sure. How to say it, but like it, you know, I think it's viable. It's very viable to go with Nico. And then I think the other one that you can very much look at is Gorgui Dieng. I mean, he had a massive game last night because, you know, he's going to get 30 plus minutes. He's only priced at 5'7". And he's playing, you know, a Houston team in a pace up high total situation. And Dieng has basically been, you know, 30 points locked in here for a good stretch now. He's played really, really well. And I think given the minutes, you know, and the fact that he rebounds and he does other things besides just score, you know, you have a nice balanced player here. And I don't think we have to think too hard about this. I mean, he had 41 points against Houston last time out. I mean, just it makes sense. You attack Houston in the front court and he could play really well in a high paced game. So Dieng is very, very interesting to me for those minutes. You know, and I think at center, I'm looking pretty closely at Guillermo Hernan Gomez. You know, Hernan Gomez, he has, like I said, he struggled against the 76ers, but we love attacking the 76ers in the front court. There's going to be no Porzingis, no Anthony, no Rose. He's one of their best scorers. He's been playing extremely well. He had 48 just last game against the Raptors, which is a much better matchup for, a much more difficult matchup for centers, but he had a massive game against them. You know, and this is Philly. Like, he could easily go back out and do 48 against them again. So I have no problem with Guillermo Hernan Gomez in this spot. I think he's very, very viable. You know, the problem is that I don't get to play Karl-Anthony Towns then. And then there's even more value below him. You know, his normal range of outcomes probably in the 30s. There's probably guys in the 3-5s that you, or excuse me, in the 3-4 range that could get you almost 30 fantasy points. So, you know, Hernan Gomez is very interesting, but I don't think you have to have him, but I think he's very, very, very viable, especially if you like to play Hernan Gomez. You know, if you're a Hernan Gomez guy, then this is a good spot to go to him for sure. All right, bargain basement, 5K-ish and below. It's interesting that I said 5K-ish because we've got Ish Smith. He's my first value point guard. Ish Smith, 5'6". He's got Orlando. I don't need to say much more. He's been playing really well, 30-plus minutes, no other point guards there, plus matchup with Orlando. Boom. I think Shabazz will be in play if we know Dame and all the rest of those guys sit. Shabazz is very interesting against New Orleans, who really struggles with guards right now. Jamal Murray in play at 4-6 against OKC. He's getting pretty much all the run in Denver. You know, tons of minutes there. He's going to have a nice pace-up situation with OKC on the road to get just developmental minutes. Jerian Grant is in play at 4-3 against Brooklyn if we know that Rajon Rondo sits. Spencer Dinwiddie is also in play now that we know that Jeremy Lin is out. I mean, we have to wait for news to figure out which one of these guys we want to target, but there's a whole Shabazz of them, really, guys. Shooting guard, you start with Caris LeVert, and you go down. LeVert's just going to get the minutes. He's going to get 30 minutes. I don't love the matchup for him, and he's kind of inconsistent. It's not like RHJ, where you know what you're going to get, or TLC, where you know what you're going to get. LeVert is fine. He's not my favorite, but he's fine. Jordan Crawford at 3-7, very interesting. Holiday from the Knicks. Used to play for the Bulls. Skinny. Where's the number 7? I forget his name. Holiday from the Knicks. And then Staus, also very much interesting. All those guys are 3-7, very much in play. I would love Alan Crabb if he plays and the rest of those Blazers don't play. I think Alan Crabb would be very interesting because New Orleans has really struggled with shooting guards of late in the last 5. So very interesting to me. Small forward, I think you start with Brandon Ingram and you go down. You look at Mo Harkless and Evan Turner, especially if we have no Blazers in the lineup. And then you have to look at the Milwaukee situation. You have Mirza Teletovic, you have Michael Beasley, and Kelly Oubre will very much be in play if no Otto Porter is out there. So all of those guys, 4K and below. And then at power forward, you start with Scal. You can go down to Larry Nance, who's the same price or same price as Scal. Noah Vonleh, interesting. Chiek Diallo, interesting. And Maurice Endor of the Knicks, he's interesting as well. You know, all of these guys are very interesting and very much in play, but you got to get news to make sure that, you know, the minutes and the usage are going to be there. Endor, we already know the minutes are going to be there. Vonleh, we know the minutes are going to be there. I think all those guys are possibly in play if there's other guys resting around them as well. And then at center, you got, by the way, at power forward, you also have Wancho, 30 minutes last night. He scored 25 fantasy points. So very much in play here against OKC. At the center position, you got to look at Ejinsa and you got to look at Boban. Very much in play. And Justin Hamilton, too, from Brooklyn, because there's no Brooklyn center. So Ejinsa, Boban, Justin Hamilton, all going to get probably about 25 or more minutes in this one. All very interesting. Ton of value, guys. You just got to kind of pick your positions. I think my value guys are coming from a shooting guard and power forward because I like small forward the most for studs. And I think point guard is kind of deep. And I really like Karl Anthony Towns. That's where I'm heading. I'm heading towards value at shooting guard and power forward personally. So that is it for the player breakdown. Let's go ahead and take this player pool and see if we can build a lineup. Pretty much exactly on cue with what we expected. Immediately, I look at my phone as we go into this next segment, and I'm starting to get news. We've got DeMar DeRozan likely out with an illness. We've got no Markieff Morris, no Bradley Beal, no John Wall for the Wizards. So you have Otto Porter being the primary starter there, Marcin Gortat. You got to think that they're also going to get some Boyan in there as well. And the value conundrums begin, my friend. The value conundrums begin. This is just the beginning. So, you know, some interesting things we have to consider now. Some really interesting spots we have to think about. You know, a guy like Norman Powell, for example. We have to think about Kyle Lowry now. Norman Powell is min-priced. You know, and he is going to probably get some good run in this situation. I don't know, you know, but of course, now we know Kyle Lowry is going to get good run as well. So, lots of stuff to think about now. We know Brandon Jennings is going to be playing, but it's against Miami. They're pretty good against the point. I don't know. All right. So let's build around with what I've, let's fool around with what I've been talking about here. I think the core of guys that I'm looking at today are are basically a shooting guard, two small forwards, and a power forward. Okay, that's kind of where I've been sticking, and then sticking around those four, and then building out the point guard and shooting guard two and power forward two and center from there. That's where I feel like I've. So I'm interested in one of these min price basically shooting guards, either 3-7 or below, whether that's Jordan Crawford, Justin Holiday, or now even Norman Powell, possibly. That becomes very interesting. One of those guys, I'm interested in Paul George and Jimmy Butler. And then I'm interested in Chiek Diallo, who's been getting really good minutes and is facing a pretty bad Portland front court. We know that they're not great in the front court, so I'm interested in Diallo as well in this spot, a min price, one of these kind of almost min price power forwards, you know, and there's a couple options there. Now, one of the lineups, if you really want to go full on stars and scrubs, you get those guys in there, and then you take another min price shooting guard. So let's say I have Jordan Crawford and Justin Holiday, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Chiek Diallo, and I take another almost min price power forward. Okay. Maybe a Montrezl Harrell or a Channing Frye or Dwight Powell, somebody like that. Let's go with Maurice Endor because I like the rebound upside there. Maurice Endor 3-7. That's going to give me, it's going to give me some money here to play with a point guard. I've got, I have 5-3 to get another point guard in here. Now let's see if I can get, maybe if I can get, that's tricky. I was going to say, let's try to get ourselves. Well, I could go, this is interesting. You ready for this? This is says GPP written all over it. GPP takedown. I take out Jimmy Butler and I go over to Kevin Durant and then I can get Ish Smith. So I have, I also have Chris Paul in there. So this is an interesting lineup. This is interesting, kind of building off of my core. Ish Smith, Chris Paul, Jordan Crawford, Justin Holiday, Paul George, Kevin Durant, that's sleepy, Maurice Endor, Chiek Diallo, and Karl Anthony Towns. Now, if you don't trust Carl, if you don't trust the whole stars and scrubs approach, I understand that. So then let's get a little bit more balanced here. Let's do a little bit more balance. Let's keep ourselves on Paul George, and let's keep ourselves on Jimmy Butler. And then let's keep ourselves on some of these value guys, one of these value shooting guards, one of these value power forwards, but let's balance out the rest of it, okay? We're going to get off of Chris Paul, and we're going to have a little bit more of an even spending to do a little bit more even spending at different positions. So let's say we want to do, let's say we like Guillermo Herndon Gomez. Let's say we want to go with James Johnson. I like James Johnson a lot in this spot at 6'5". And then I think, by the way, now we have to think about Jason Smith with no Markieff Morris in the lineup. Oh my God, there's so much to think about. And then at shooting guard, we really liked Gary Harris. Let's go Gary Harris. And then we have 7,600 with which to play at point guard, and I could get Goran Dragic and Jeff Teague in there. Now, you know, if this was a regular slate, I would feel pretty comfortable with this kind of balanced lineup here. You know, I'd feel really good about having Paul George and Jimmy as my two studs and then a bunch of 5 and 6K players here. So I think this is a very viable, you know, Goran Dragic, Jeff Teague, Gary Harris, Justin Holiday, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, James Johnson, Chiek Diallo, and Guillermo Hernan Gomez. I love that lineup. But I also think that you could go with like a three stud approach. And let's say you either wanted to, let's take our point guards out there. Let's take our center out there. Let's say you want to go with Karl Anthony Towns. You spend up on Karl Anthony Towns. And then you basically spend down at, point guard and shooting guard. And you spend down at point guard and you go with, you go with Ish, who's pretty much an undeniable value. And then you go with Jamal Murray, who's also an undeniable value. And then you go with Josh Richardson at shooting guard. I think then you have a lineup that's very, very viable in Ish Smith, Jamal Murray, Josh Richardson, Justin Holiday, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, James Johnson, Chiek Diallo, and Karl Anthony Towns. Guys, I mean, all these things are in play. It's just kind of how do you want to build tonight? I think you can build a bunch of them and just put them all in $1 GPPs and see what the heck happens. You know, build a bunch. Don't go full YOLO because, hey, anything can happen, and, you know, who knows who's going to get minutes. But now, I mean, with all this injury news, you got to think about Kyle Lowry. You got to think about these value guys on Washington. You know, Brandon Jennings, of course, is in play. Kelly Oubre probably will play the two for a little while, even though Otto Porter's back. He'll probably play some two because they really don't have a backup two guard. Boyan is going to be in play. Jason Smith is going to be in play. You know, all those guys are going to be in play for sure. So, you know, keep all that in mind. But, you know, at the same time, go with what you know, which is the playoff viable matchups, the Miami game, the Indiana players, the Chicago game, the, you know, Chris Paul, basically, and then the Minnesota players, because we know Minnesota guys get minutes, and then it's value. So I think that that's kind of your strategy tonight. Hey, I love you guys. Good luck. It has been an amazing NBA season here. I am delighted and happy to be your host every day. Stay tuned for MLB. It's going to be way too much fun. MLB on the way here. So, you know, keep in touch. Don't go away because big things are happening for the Lineup Logic family. Please continue to tweet at me. Continue to talk. Let's continue to interact on Twitter. If you haven't written a review, I would greatly appreciate you writing a review. Good luck on this final night in the NBA. Farewell. Bon voyage. Bon voyage. Vaya con Dios. Ride the big wave. All right, guys. I will talk to you later, and good luck in your contest this evening.